The Center for Community and Economic Development at Michigan State University's podcast, Transforming Tomorrow Together Today, creates informative episodes in collaboration with MSU faculty, students, community leaders, changemakers, and stakeholders that highlight innovative tools, models, policies, and professional insights to co-create sustainable prosperity and more equitable economies with communities. I'm your host, Mary Zimbrunnen, Assistant Director of the Center.
Today, we are continuing the Center's interview with CityCraft founder and board chair, John L. Knott Jr., regenerative system scale strategist Melissa Hall, and CityCraft board member Brent Forsberg. Let's get into part three of discussing the Southwest Lansing Regenerative Roadmap and Lansing Growth Fund. The views discussed during this podcast are those of the guest and do not represent the opinions of Michigan State University, the Center for Community and Economic Development, or any affiliated organizations.
So talk to me more then about aligning these assets. How do we do that?
So going back to the human body analogy, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to find out where they are and what's their condition, and also understand the disconnect that is apparent. That's the first step. This is like Melissa was using the human body analogy. It's basically doing a complete assessment forensically without bias of the area you're in and how those systems are connected or not connected and what has to be done to make that happen. Essentially, you have your school systems, you have your ecological systems, you have your stormwater systems, your social entertainment systems, all these systems which are operating in, think about how our cities work. You have the city doing its planning, the fire department does its, the police department does theirs, the libraries do their, the nonprofit side and institutions, art, you know, the art resources, all they do theirs, Michigan State University does their plan. All this stuff is being done, like, you know, not connected. And what's happening is that lack of connection is also creating more disconnect and more silos and more barriers for people to be able to see themselves in an integrated system and feel that. And so I don't know if that's answering your question, but you first have to know what the condition of this organism is and how it is disconnected. And then the second thing, based on that condition, what needs to happen for it to be connected and interconnected, and how does it need to be healed? And the people themselves have to be part of learning that.
It reminds me of our earlier conversation around the idea of 30 to 40,000 people functioning as a small city and reducing, taking down the walls and reducing barriers, and then thinking about empowerment and how do you invest back in the self, back in the larger ecosystem, back in the idea of the human body to go forward in a healthier state. And we can't split out. This truly is integrated systems thinking. We cannot split out one from the other.
That's exactly what it is. It's integrated cross-sector systems thinking at scale.
John is always telling us as a group, he keeps in front of us the word regenerative and holistic thinking. And it's one of the things I would say, if I can use a negative word in a positive way, is one thing that he will pound on the table about is lifestyles should always be regenerative and just regenerative thinking and holistic. And he'll talk about the intersections of people, and he'll bring out the giftings of each one of us as a team and how it brings us to holisticness. And even as us talking about us as a team of identifying where there may be a gap and do one of us have a strength that the other one doesn't to fill that gap, and having that thinking having it do a like a read across in everything that we do. And even today, we were talking about youth and the financial system and getting them prepared for home ownership. And there was a lot of great conversation around it, but the aspect that I brought up was, hey, look at the person that may not have had parents that could have taught them this because of their parents' background. And the things that are needed to fill that gap. But that conversation came about is because I was sitting there thinking intersection, and they bring a perspective that is very strong and very helpful, but there's elements that they may miss because they haven't experienced the side that I've experienced. So in that conversation, we started brainstorming about ways to be a help to the generation of people who never had parents that could talk to them and teach them about finances. Does that make sense?
Yes, critically so.
And when we destroyed local banking, I remember sitting when I was 21, I was sitting on a board of what I used to call five and dime SNLs. They serve a one, they a one, I think it was a 12 block square area. That was all the businesses, all the individuals put money in that institution, and that institution put money in their in the families and in the businesses. That and that banker, who they knew and lived in the neighborhood, they had almost no default, right? And then when all this expansion started happening, Pac-Men gobbling up different organizations, they got gobbled up, and then they started expanding beyond what they knew in the area, and all of a sudden the whole thing collapsed because there was no social trust, there was no social connection, and the people borrowing the money didn't have an see an obligation to the institution itself, and the institution didn't know the people either, so they were giving money to people that didn't need it. And when I was a kid, I had a I don't know if you all had I had a card around before Christmas, 3 months or 4 months before Christmas, that I put quarters in from the bank, and the bank would take it and put, and then I'd have my money to buy gifts for my family, my brothers and sisters at Christmas. And they did all, none of that stuff exists today.
Well, and that is one of the, when we talk about capitals, financial capital, and when we look at what's happened around the country, John's right, we've seen that centralization. And that's one of Lansing's assets that really needs to be looked at, that how can it bring more opportunity in? Because we have some good local credit unions and local banks that are still here working, unlike a lot of other areas. And but it can be built on. We Melissa and I were at an event recently that was just talking about how that connection and how the banks and credit unions are working together here to try to build those stronger connections. And that's something that we can continue to build on because John's right. For years, we've seen that disconnection. We watched a lot of the big banks gobble up the smaller banks. We still have a good network here that's committed to the community that we need to build on to strengthen them to continue to help build that financial wealth in the communities. That's a pretty good example of walking through one of the capitals, and then that can spread out to the investment, to helping build the wealth, to getting back to what John talked about really teaching kids again about starting at that young age of the savings and the things that are important. So seeing that kind of work out, we've got a good starting point here that can then be built on even more.
Today has been a pretty exciting day of all the conversations that have had that we've had that is just intertwined, that's just been building upon each other. And we earlier today had a conversation about how it's important to engage the family to make the difference. When you're going after the child, you have to engage the family. So earlier today, we were talking about that when you're talking about turning around at at-risk children, how it's important to spend time with the family to have that happen. And then fast forward, we're at a meeting talking about the banking systems and how the credit unions and the banks work together and the things that they're doing for banking education for the children. But I also brought up the importance of engaging the parents. And I was sharing with one of the ladies that when I was working, it's going to tell my age, at Michigan National Bank, and the director there talked to me about the things I needed to put into place, and then even the things I needed to do for my son to give him a strong financial start in life, is where she taught me. That was when I first learned about putting him on to a credit card as an authorized signer and how it would build his credit. And I remember when my son was in the 12th grade, his teacher told them all to run their credit through Discovery Card because it was free. And my son came home excited and he said, "Mom, do you know out of all the kids in my class, I was the only one with a credit score over 700. He says, "As a matter of fact, Mom, most of them didn't even have a credit score." But that was through education to me that helped him prepare for life financially. So pretty good conversations today about the holisticness, again, of life.
That really helps draw the lines, I think, the connection and the ripples effect between the capitals, specifically thinking of financial capital reinvesting in the neighborhood and then rippling out into a thriving ecosystem. Family is critical.
Yes.
What's the vision for the future?
The vision for the future is a community that has clear direction on the values that align them, understand what it is that they want to see in their neighborhoods and along their corridors for the types of businesses, the types of opportunities that are available, and a financial system that's aligned with it, that at the same time, while we're building and remodeling and working on public space, that it has the right types of structure that's cleaning our water, because that's our most important resource, being connected to the Grand River, that's helping to clean our air in how these systems are working, and building those connections that are allowing people to be together versus having to drive places versus having to not have those neighborhood areas and those parks and things where they can really build those social connections. So, you know, the optimal plan will come from those that live there, the businesses that are working there, understanding the assets that are available in the community, and what does the community want them to look like in 10 years, and how does it align with the city plans? How does it align with funding that's coming into the area?
Mary, there's kind of two levels of vision, I think. One is the ideas around, you know, what does a regenerative economy and community look like, and how does it function, and how is it healthy for everyone and everything in it? We, in terms of outcomes, we talk about a circular economy. We talk about a no-waste economy, so that anything that comes into the system does not leave. Everything that comes into the system ultimately is a byproduct or a resource for some part of the system itself. It does not leave. It's not just the money. Two, a compressed supply chain, which means that we don't have to increase the GDP of the country or the region, because instead of 1,200 or 1,400 miles, that business is being conducted in a 400-mile supply chain. It means all those businesses along that supply chain are now back in the Great Lakes bioregion. And from the standpoint of Lansing, you wanted to get as close to, like, probably, you know, 50 to 100 miles. You'll never get to that point completely. But it's so you've got a vision that actually creates the environment for more employment, more business ownership, more opportunity, more culture, more healthy neighborhoods, more healthy water systems for everyone. And then you have the vision for, you know, what does the community itself see as the physical characteristic of its density and its architecture and its parks and its access to resources, be they financial resources or be they education resources or arts and culture or recreation. So there's two levels of vision. And I think clearly CityCraft's vision is about creating a regenerative future for the community and the economy of Lansing. That's our vision. How that comes about is based on the context of the place and the context of the people. But the basic vision is still the same.
And as I said to you earlier, Brent and John, they love words. And I like to summarize it. I think of opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. And when there's opportunity, there's value. And when there's value and opportunity together, there is wealth for future generations.
Well said. That was very well stated.
That's why she's here.
Where can listeners learn more about the Southwest Lansing Regenerative Roadmap?
We are working on several things for community engagement. It will be our next stage in our roadmap. There are several avenues that we're trying to work on. So on one hand, I'm going to say more to come. But the thing that I can guarantee is we will be in the community holding community events to let them know more about what's going on. Especially for the Lansing Growth Fund, it would be www.lansinggrowthfund.com. And you can also go to CityCraft's website, which is, John, go for it.
CityCraftFoundation.org. And there'll be it's a national website, but it also has a Michigan tab as well. And it's in its early stages of launch. There's a lot more to build out, and that will be an ongoing robust site as time goes on for people to access. But as we start our community engagement process, it will be at the neighborhood level. It will not be. And so the idea, and if there's 40 neighborhoods, there'll be 40 different things going on at the same time, because we're really committed to building that infrastructure. And we also have a significant amount of organizations that are private sector organizations, public sector organizations, nonprofit organizations, all around this work. I mean, I don't even know what the number is. And so they're all part of that network of communication, and that'll get more robust and more robust. So we are always about collective impact organizations, collaboration, building capacity, disappearing as a catalyst. It may take 10 years, whatever it is, but the idea is we're leaving capacity and systems in place and organizations that now know how to collaborate and work together in a collective impact relationship.
And collective impact is something that's very important to me and in my background. Can you speak to that just briefly? What is collective impact?
Well, there's actually six or seven characteristics of collective impact, which I'm not going to be able to repeat from memory. But the collective impact organization is one that is, one, organized around an area or community that has a cross-sector representation that is guiding the future of that organization. Two, it has a vision for that organization that is built with the people and organizations of that community. It's not imposed on them, it's emerged from them. Three, it has a structure which maintains connection and communication to whatever that collective impact area is serving. Or it has a research and data system that is organized to study, to evaluate on an annual basis, if not for more frequently, how are we meeting the goals of this collective impact organization? And then reevaluating if we need different goals or if we need more goals. But that's and then having a way that the community actually gets the reports on that in language that they can understand. And it just keeps feeding on itself. It's no different than, it's like teaching, you know, from the kindergarten all the way to high school. It's, you know, there's a methodology and there's expectations at the first grade. Then there's expectations at the second grade. And all those things get feedback loops. And then you have some people that need more work over here and some people that need more advanced work. But we're growing a community. We're growing a regenerative future. We have to understand what that is and how we are doing on that path. And a collective impact organization is the best kind of organization to actually work in that space, because instead of it being some nonprofit that's a community organizing organization, it's the community itself. And this is not a property owners association. It's not a condo association. It is a collective impact group that is collectively agreeing on a future, and from the public sector, the private sector, the NGO sector, the resident sector, the schools, all of them are in that. And they're working together to move to the future they've defined.
Yes, co-creation, more equitable futures.
Yeah.
That, I think you summed it up perfectly, with aligning and integrating actions for systems level change.
Yep.
You touched all points on that one.
And I'd say, and I want to go back to something Brent said, which is about showing the country. I would say that, I mean, I agree that's potentially an outcome, but it took me a long while, because I'm 80 years old. About in my 40s, I got to the point, because I've just had all kinds of national positions, but I finally decided that I had to stop telling everybody else how life should be and how they should be. And I needed to take everything I was advising them and reevaluate myself personally and my organizations. And so I decided to actually focus on me and my work, to concentrate on making that reflect what I believed and who I was and who our companies were. And by doing that, I think Dewey's Island was the first effort once I made that decision. And so the concentration of my learning and experience in that way allowed me to actually have a bigger impact, even though it was bringing everything closer and smaller. And I think that if we think that way about Southwest Lansing, I do believe Lansing can become the beacon and the teaching model for the Great Lakes Basin and to support the Great Lakes Basin Compact and their work. I do believe that. But the first priority and the only priority needs to be Southwest Lansing becoming a regenerative community and a regenerative economy and a healthy place from conception to death for every single human being that goes through, occupies, lives, born, whatever. If we do that and we do it well, then we will become a beacon. But it's like my father and my grandfather taught me that it took some time for this hard head to understand it. It said our goals are great product and great service and true customer care. Profit is an outcome. It's not the goal. And the better you do the first three things, the more profit you will have. Because believe me, if you operate that way, you don't have to spend a lot of money on marketing and advertising. Your referral network is unbelievable. And I think that's the same thing that will happen with Lansing and the same thing with Southwest Lansing.
Wrapping up, what are your final thoughts?
I'm excited. I mean, there's great momentum in Lansing and Southwest Lansing. We've got a lot of great things going as we're in 2026. And, you know, we talk about this idea of regenerative, right? Creating more in the future and creating these opportunities. The one word that always comes to mind is hope, right? That idea of having more in the future than we have today, and that opportunity and that value that was talked about earlier, that we're building that as a community. We're excited to be a part of that.
And as I said earlier, I'm excited about the fact, because we truly do believe in community ownership. We truly do believe in creating value that will last for generations to come.
I guess, you know, because my planning horizon is a lot less than Melissa's and Brent's. We talked in an earlier discussion today, the opportunity that over my career, this is the largest scale and the biggest impact that we potentially could have. And a lot of what's happening here, like the capital ecosystem stuff I've been working on and dreaming about for 40 years. And I really want that to happen. But I think the thing I really want, I see because of MSU and CCED, I see an opportunity to spend more of my time teaching and mentoring and trying to figure out how that works with MSU for the future of Michigan, because we have to get this regenerative thinking in place, and we have to be training, we have to be teaching and working with our leaders and our young people to understand that. And so my hope is, and my dream is, because of the uniqueness of what we're doing here and the power of it and the collaborative groups that are around this, I would like to be able to spend my time mentoring and teaching and to help from that standpoint. And I see a lot of opportunity for that.
If I can add on to what he just said, I try to make sure that I spend as much quality time with him as possible. You know, you hear a lot of people say that there's so many dreams that are in the grave, and that's a sad thing. And one of the things I personally feel deeply about is John has a lot to offer to this world. Getting a little choked up. You know, he takes the patience, he takes the time to teach me, and I push back. I push back on what I don't understand, because I truly want to make sure that we're heading in the right direction. And he takes the time to teach and to guide. I get him frustrated sometimes, but he doesn't give up on helping me understand. This is something that he's studied for probably longer than I've been on this earth. So sometimes when he's talking, it's hard for me to wrap my brain around it. And I have to keep pushing back, keep re-asking the question, and he takes the time. But the value he has, regenerative systems and improving lives, I've made the personal commitment inside of myself that I won't let all of that wisdom go to the grave.
It was beautifully spoken. Thank you. Well, I want to thank all three of you for your time this afternoon and for your thoughts and the clarity with which you've shared the vision for this very exciting opportunity at the Southwest Lansing Regenerative Roadmap, Lansing Growth Fund, as well as the other activities of the CityCraft Foundation. And I can't express how forward I am looking to staying up to date and in the loop and continuing to work on this co-creative process together.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that concludes the last of our three-part series on the CityCraft Foundation, Lansing Growth Fund, and the Southwest Lansing Regenerative Roadmap. Join us next month for a discussion with the former director of the Center for Community and Economic Development, Dr. Rex Lamore.